take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by acknowledging any known sin if necessary. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to provide for us to gather together for the purpose of the communication of your Word, recognizing that these opportunities are, and they provide us with the information that we need to have in order to understand our situation as in the devil's world, as well as your provision for it and the purpose of it all. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit, the information that is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Our passage for the day is Deuteronomy 30:15-19, where it says, I have set before you the choice between life and prosperity and death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk his ways, to keep his mandates and to his statutes and judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not obey, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. I will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing to Jordan to enter and possess it. I will call heaven and earth today to witness against you today, and have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So choose life in order that you may live, and you and your descendants. So here we see the volitional choice that faces everybody, as they specifically client nations such as Israel. And of course, Israel was given a special blessing in association with Abraham and the promises that God gave to them relating to the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. So they were... He had taken them from being a slave nation, and because of their negative volition, they had spent 40 years in the desert for the first generation to die, for the most part, because of their negative volition. It's interesting that positive volition to the promises, in one sense, did not lead to positive volition towards Moses and what it took to actually live. So we here see there the combination of, or a series of positive volition required to actually be a total beneficiary. Now, obviously, they were beneficiaries, because remember, everybody who came out of Egypt was baptized in the sea by implication, and they walked through it on dry ground. And as a result, all of those were saved. So they're presently in heaven. They've been transferred to heaven as when Jesus transferred the Old Testament saints there. But they end up dying the sin unto death because of their negative volition to the doctrine that they need to have in order to live what God had promised. They didn't have capacity. So inevitably they ended up with negative volition. So the principle there is spiritual capacity precedes temporal prosperity. So in our study, we've been noting the consequences of negative volition to God's word of truth, and have been noting passages that describe the fall of the Israelite client nations who rejected God's word. We're looking at God's warnings to the northern kingdom of Israel in Hosea 4, verses 1 to 6. Left off in verse 5 with the words, you have stumbled in the daylight, and even the prophet will stumble. With you in the night darkness, I have destroyed your people or your nation. So we see here that the leadership of the nation was stumbling along with the people. And the net translation actually says, have destroyed your own people. But the net note 10 says, I will destroy your mother. Followed by most English versions. However, the text should probably be amended. And you have destroyed your own people. The second person masculine singular of Vedemet. And you have destroyed is preserved in the medieval history. The right peg thing open again here. All right. Let's see, net note 10. Is preserved in several medieval Hebrew manuscripts and reflects Jerome's Vulgate for the discussion. So it basically has to do with the nation. The nation is being destroyed, which is, of course, the basis of the source of prosperity for the nations. Verse 5 explains the consequences of negative volition to the truth and authority of the true communicator. In this case, the true teacher was Hosea. So remember, God sent prophets to the people to warn them. Remember, the priests were responsible for communicating in writing. Their mandate was to preserve the Torah, or actually the Tanakh. And the prophets came, and of course their writings ultimately were added to the Tanakh. And Hosea was one of those. So the principle here is made between daylight and nighttime. And we see that God from the outset, if you'll go back to Genesis, used the cycles of the earth revolving around the sun. I guess rotating is actually not revolving. Revolving gives you the years. Rotation gives you the day and night. The rotation of the earth provides the daylight and darkness in cycles. And of course, that's an indication of volition. You have a choice to accept truth or reject it. And God provides both during this period of time while the devil rules the world or rules the earth. And for that matter, during the entire period of time where man was on the earth in unglorified bodies, it started from the beginning with Adam and the woman in the garden. Because if you go through the recreation passages, it describes the daylight and the nighttime. And that indicates the opportunity to reject or accept God's word. And so we have that cycle occurring throughout human history as well. Mankind resides on the earth in unglorified bodies. Ultimately, in the eternal state, there will not be any nighttime. It will be the light. There will, of course, there won't be any solar illumination either. The entire environment will be illuminated by Jesus Christ. So the environment of the new heavens and the new earth are entirely different in that the light is for always. There's always light. There's no end to light from God. So that describes an entirely different environment than what we have today. Of course, we understand there will be no more sea either. It'll be replaced by a sea of glass or gemstones. So the whole environment changes. So just as God supplies an abundance of daylight, he had made truth equally available to the northern kingdom of Israel under Hosea's ministry. We see this in Hosea 8:12 in the NET version, where it says, get popped over there, that God had provided them with ample opportunities to adjust their thinking. In fact, remember, grace comes before judgment in all cases with God. God's not interested in destruction. He's always interested in advance. And even adversity that comes to us is, or permitted to come towards us, is for the benefit, for our benefit. That's the purpose of it. And we'll touch on that here later in our study, probably not today, but later. He goes to say in Hosea 12, I spelled out my law for him in great detail, but they regarded it as something totally unknown. Okay. He goes on to say, they offered up sacrificial gifts to me and eat the meat. So they were doing the ritual sacrifice, but the Lord does not accept their sacrifices. Soon he will remember their wrongdoing and punish their sins, and they will return to Egypt. You know, basically Egypt means slavery. So in this environment, the context is slavery. Egypt represents the cosmic system as well as the enslavement associated with their life in Egypt as slaves. So he gave them grace space of 3 years to change their thinking, but they had squandered the time with frivolous pursuits where they reveled in fool's paradise of unrestrained activity until they were destroyed in 721 BC by Assyria. And we noted last time or the time before how Jonah did not want to evangelize the Assyrians because he knew from the prophecies that they were going to ultimately destroy the northern kingdom. And so the God, of course, worked through circumstances to cause Jonah to show up at the right time in the right way to bring maximum influence on Syria, and they responded. And of course, what's interesting is the northern kingdom did not. So even though there was spiritual daylight all around them, the uninterested believers were stumbling into spiritual darkness because they refused the light of God's word of truth. Every day is an opportunity to advance spiritually and to contribute to the deliverance of the nation, because if a nation is to solve the problems created by negative volition to truth, spiritual daylight must replace the spiritual darkness that resides in the souls of believers. Remember, the principle is, goes the believer, so goes the client nation. So God's basically evaluating the believers on a daily basis and looking at their volition towards his word. And it's not, again, salvation is God's grace. It's a product of faith alone and is non-meritorious. But positive volition to the word of God is where the believer actually does their part of the, participates in their part of the process. And that's also grace, because God provides all the resources. But we do have volition involved there, that we have to consistently and persistently learn and apply God's word of truth and choose against the satanic lie. In addition to people influenced by the false teachers, they stumbled among with them. So the people and the teachers influenced each other. These communicators followed the course of the arrogant seals of self-absorption, self-justification, self-deception, so they succumbed to their unrestrained greed and libertine lifestyle and told the people that they wanted to, what they wanted to hear. We see this in Hosea 8:13-14. As for my their sacrifice flesh and eat it, but the Lord has taken no delight in them. He remembered their sins and punished them for them. They will return to Egypt, for Israel has forgotten its maker and built palaces, and Judah has multiplied fortified cities. But I will send fire to their cities, that it may consume their palatial dressings. So they did not learn from God's grace. In 2 Timothy 4, we have, the time will come when they will not endorse sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, turn their ears away from the truth, aside to myths. So people pursue what they want to hear. And of course, God permits that to occur. That's part of volition. Free volition is allowed to choose poorly. Of course, there's consequences for choosing poorly, but doesn't God provides the freedom to do that and allows people to go that way, with the inevitable result that they will be disciplined or destroyed depending on the situation. The priest's failure to fulfill their responsibility to study and teach God's word of truth resulted in the blind leading the blind. And you see that in the passages relating to Jesus, where the leadership in Israel, the Sanhedrin and the various individuals involved with that, were completely oblivious to Jesus' identity initially. And once they became familiar with it, not because they wanted to, but because it was forced, it was placed in their, they couldn't ignore it. They were faced with it, and his miracles attested to his identity, but they still rejected him because they considered it to be a threat to their power, which I guess in a sense it was, because many of them were unbelievers. So they were not willing to submit to the will of God. And of course that ended up in their being destroyed as well. But they rejected God's word, and as a result the blind were leading the blind. That's why Judea was set aside and the kingdom was delayed, and we now have the church age. But God is going to fulfill his promises to Israel by bringing the kingdom back into play at the right time, once the church is finished. The unfaithful priests that comprised the ruling class in Israel were largely responsible for tranquilizing the national mental attitude by advocating world peace through compromise with the enemy, along with unilateral disarmament, so that they were unprepared when a predator nation arrived. See, that's one of the characteristics of negative volition, is it fails to recognize that where we are, that we are in the devil's world. And inevitably, it seems that the people involved with negative volition end up pursuing a time of that is unreal. It's a paradise where there is no adversity. And they attempt to use government to manage that and accomplish it, but they don't recognize that that's not where we are. And not only that, it's not going to happen, because we live in the devil's world. So the devil is going to permit or cause a predator to come along and destroy such a nation. And the only reason their nation has such prosperity is because at one point it had positive listen to the word of God. Because in the final analysis, that's where all true prosperity comes from, positive listen to the word of God. So all today we have the Western nations who were and are to some extent Christian, and some greater, some more, some less. But still, the prosperity that associated with Western Europe and the United States and the associated countries is all related to the word of God and the positive volition of those who have gone before us. And as that is taken away and replaced by negative volition, the blessings will be removed, because spiritual capacity temporal blessing requires spiritual capacity, and spiritual capacity maintains it or creates temporal blessing, depending on where you happen to be when spiritual capacity is developed. So during a period of national prosperity, the priesthood and the leaders of the nation that comprised the ruling class failed to communicate truth. So without the consistent renovation of their thinking, the people turned away from God and the principles revealed in His word of truth. And of course, that's related not only to the gospel and the word of God, but divine establishment. Those in leadership were distracted by the demon doctrines of the world peace through internationalism, equality through activism, and psychological pseudo-spirituality. The spiritual darkness that's created by the rejection of the light of the truth of God's word creates the unintended consequences of self-induced personal and national disaster that are an inevitable result of consistently making bad decisions from a position of weakness. And this is because bad decisions limit future options. So the longer we make bad decisions, or the more we make bad decisions, the more our options are limited. And eventually what's left is the sin of the death. That's the final exit strategy that God provides for those who persist in making bad decisions. Unless He happens to keep them around for the purpose of providing opportunities to test someone else, as was the case with the Assyrians here. So by the time they got to the point where they were attacking Israel, and they were towards the end of the cycle of their positive volition, they had recovered based on Jonah's ministry, but they had forgotten what they had learned after a few generations. And so God would permit them to take the northern kingdom out, but He did not permit them to take the southern kingdom out. So the same army that destroyed Israel was destroyed when they came up against Judah, the southern kingdom. So they were in the process of being taken out, but God was using them in the meantime to advance His plan with Israel. The Assyrians would overtake the nation, and the revisionistic ruling class would be terminated by the sin into death, and be permanently silenced for dragging the nation into ruin. The fate should be a warning to the United States and to the politicians and the media and the educators who comprise the ruling class in the USA, who are largely responsible for undermining the thoughts and the souls of the benighted in our nation at this time. So the leadership in our country has rejected the truth to the greater extent, even more than the people at this point. And as a result, the nation is rapidly rotting from within. Verse 6, we have the next passage relating to the causes of the negative volition, the consequences. My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge of doctrine, I will reject you from being the priest nation. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. See, a lot of times the children become the excuse for people to make bad decisions. And they prioritize emotional things over truth because of the children, supposedly. But the reality is, it's not about the children. It's about themselves and their own greed and their own arrogance. The children would be better off if the parents held to the truth and taught the truth. Permissiveness is not beneficial for children. So the truth of the matter is that the best thing one can do for their children is teach God's word of truth and have them submit to his plan and purpose. Have them choose to submit or have the opportunity to. Their volition is involved as well, but they have the option of changing the course of history by having positive volition. As was the case again in that first and second generation of Israel, where the first generation did not have the spiritual capacity to go into the land, the second generation did. This verse explains why the northern kingdom was destroyed and removed from the human history under the principle of as goes the believer, so goes the client nation. Believers should not be involved in reformation through activism. They should be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and becoming invisible heroes. See, the way we fix the world is by holding the ground, our own ground. It's our job to hold to the doctrine and not give it up under any circumstance, because the doctrine is more important than we are. And we're a means to an end. The doctrine is an end in itself. So when we connect with doctrine, we are connected with absolute truth that never fails. So the challenge for us is to do that. The nation is not operating on the basis of principles that are revealed in God's word of absolute truth. It's a nation without solutions. Jesus Christ controls history, but the benighted question that, because they think that if he does, why does he allow evil nations to continue and better, or what they think is better nations, to be destroyed? They wonder, why do the wicked often prosper while the good suffer? The reason is, or one of the reasons, is that to whom much is given, much more is acquired. This principle is explained in Luke 12:48, where Jesus is talking, and he said that from everyone who has been given much, much more will be required, and to whom they entrusted much of him will be asked all the more. So the principle here is that the more you have, the more it's expected from you. This is why certain individuals have greater responsibility. For example, Moses. You remember, he was rejected. God did not allow him to enter the promised land because he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. Of course, the first time, he was told to strike the rock. The second time, he was told to speak to the rock. So when he disobeyed God on that small matter, he was disqualified from entering the land. Once again, to whom much is given, much will be expected. And we have then also the principle in Matthew 13:12. To whoever does not have, even that will be taken away. To whoever has more will be given more, and whoever does not have, the more will be taken away. So that's another principle. In other words, if you have, you're going to get more. This is the principle of momentum from doctrine. The more doctrinal momentum you have, the more capacity you have for more blessing, because you're going to develop more spiritual capacity. And to those who don't have anything, which means they have no capacity, what they have will be taken away. So this means that for the believer to build capacity from the application of God's word to experience, there must be a certain amount of pressure, both personally and nationally, in order to maximize the believer's individual role and the client nation's collective role in the angelic conflict. So the adversities that come our way are associated with God advancing us. Remember, you go back to the story of Job. The adversity that Job faced in his as he went through the problems that God permitted Satan to put on him ultimately provided greater understanding for Job. So in the end he said, before I heard of you and I now see you. So the process was for Job's benefit ultimately, even though the process was very difficult. So God's purpose was ultimately for Job's blessing, not his cursing. And so he had everything covered. His children obviously were saved, and the resources that God's allowed to be taken from him were replaced at the right time. So in the final analysis, Job was a beneficiary of the process, but he had to allow God to go through the process in order to accomplish the objective. And that certainly wasn't easy, but what carried Job through the process was his word, the word of God. When it looks to the believer like those with negative volition are prospering, it's a test of their priorities. For example, an ambush by friends or relatives forces you to draw upon the spiritual assets of God's word of truth that's resident in your soul. And if you have positive volition, it serves to reinforce the determination to continue or advance. It also reveals whether truth is first place in your life or not. So our response to doctrine under the face of adversity determines our priorities. At this period in Israel's history, God kept Assyria around as a whip that he could use to discipline his chosen nation in the event that they rejected his warnings to advance in grace. And of course, that's what they did. But on the other hand, the southern kingdom did not. They changed their mind. So the northern kingdom was permitted to be taken out, that the southern kingdom was delivered. God set up the nation of Israel as a priest nation to represent him and his word of truth by his, per Exodus 19:6. It says, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Israel was set up as a priest nation for the purpose of preserving the word of God and communicating God's word to those around them. They were to be the keeper of God's word of truth, to be the primary agent of evangelism throughout the world, and to be example of the principles of freedom, that privacy that God's word establishes. We see this principle in Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 to 9. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I am teaching you to perform, so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord has, the God of your fathers, has given you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. For all the men who followed Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. But you, who held fast to the Lord your God, are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you the statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, and you shall do this in the land where you are entering and possess it. So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation, is wise and understanding people. For what is a great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. So here we see the responsibility of parents to communicate doctrine to the children and to keep the reality of God's word alive in the family. And of course, that's really where teaching is supposed to occur. But Israel had completely failed on all counts, in spite of all God's warnings from the prophets. So the nation would suffer total defeat, destruction, and become slaves. When a priest nation goes negative to God's word of truth, there is no recovery. That nation is doomed. So remember, God still had the southern kingdom intact at the time. So the seed of the woman was being preserved through the line of the southern kingdom. I'm sure many of the northern kingdom escaped and ended up in the southern kingdom, because we do know that eventually they will all be the nation of Israel with all tribes will be regathered to the land. So even though these individuals were ultimately enslaved and carried off and disappeared from history, God's promise of them will be fulfilled at the right time. So we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to study your word and the blessing it is for us to understand it, so that we don't repeat the bad choices that nations before us have, recognizing it's our job to hold the line, and the challenge is to us to hold the doctrine regardless of the adversities, to press on in the advance by means of grace. Help us to do that, and we thank you for the grace you continue to supply us for that objective. And we ask this thank you in Jesus' name, amen.